Okay, tonight is January the 17th, 2009, and we have a very important week coming up. We've got, of course, the infamous Martin Luther King birthday. I heard that song they used to sing, Abraham, Martin, and John. Everybody's talking at me. I can't hear a word they're saying. Abraham, Martin, and John. Well, they're talking about Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, and John Kennedy. Isn't it interesting that Martin Luther King's birthday is the day before the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama? And they just put a rope around Hussein's neck. But now we have Barack Hussein Obama being sworn into our government as the President of the United States. And he has brought in a whole new era and a whole new liberation theology. Changed the Bible. Doesn't mean what it says regarding homosexuality or abortion. Now, Mark wanted to have a debate tonight on a subject about whether a person is good enough or not to get to heaven. Are you good enough? And he hasn't told me which side of the debate that he's going to be on, but I can tell you that it would be real hard for me to take the side of those that preach that you have to work your way into heaven as a part of your salvation. But I would be the first to adamantly say that if a person does not exhibit the fruits of the Spirit and some works in their life that separate them from a world, then in all probability they've never experienced God's grace in the first place. What's your position on that?
I'm not good enough. Even though I believe in Jesus, I let Him work out His will in my life.
Well, that's good.
I believe in working for Him if He gives me the grace, you know.
Right.
But I don't believe in works, though.
In other words, you don't believe that it's your works that save you.
Yes. I don't believe my works save me.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're going to really have a debate on that, because I can't really debate the other side. You know, there's been some people that have set forth the presupposition that James taught a works doctrine, but James did not teach a works doctrine. He says that of his own will he beget us to be a first kind of first fruits. So he recognized that our salvation came from God himself, from the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But at the same time, he taught that by being a recipient of God's grace, that we are to do good works.
Are you a good enough Christian?
Am I a good enough Christian? No, I'm not. I don't know anyone that is.
I'm far from good enough Christian.
No. Well, I hear you. None of us. We're all as filthy rags, the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The Scripture tells us that it is not of works. What?
Lest any man should boast.
But we are his workmanship,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works,
that we should
walk in them.
Walk in them. So we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves.
The good works isn't going to save us.
That's true. We are commanded to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us, who spitefully use us, who say all manner of evil against us falsely.
Does it say somewhere good works isn't going to save us in the Bible?
No, it doesn't say that. It says that not of works.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we speak of the doctrine of good works, a lot of people get it confused with the doctrine of free will. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that
runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Right.
God only shows mercy to his elect.
That's true. The other thing that we have to realize is that works, salvation by works, is not found in the Bible. If you look in James, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. He says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with him with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, not our free will, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Okay, so, but he goes on in the remaining chapters and he spends a lot of time upon our works. And he's saying that if we are not showing forth works of God, then we probably or have never been a recipient of God's grace. He says, even so, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. He says here, you see how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And he goes on and says that in the 18th verse, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So he's saying, look, you know, if you're just giving mental assent that Jesus died for you, if you're just giving mental assent and your life is not showing any of the fruits of repentance or fruits of the Spirit or anything else, then in all probability you have not been a recipient of God's grace. Now, the Bible does so talk about the confession of the mouth. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and that he has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be
saved.
Now, so our confession, that is works. Even confessing Jesus Christ as our Savior is good works. Spreading the good news of the gospel to the world is good works. There's no merit in it for us to God. We're merely obeying what God said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
The Lord knows the heart too.
The Lord knows the heart.
He knows our heart, you know, we're searching after him or not.
That's right. And he says in Peter, 1 Peter 5, he says, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So all the glory should go to God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power. So, when you say that you are not good enough, okay, you make a good point, because something happened at the cross that made you worthy. What was it that happened at the cross that made you a worthy recipient of heaven?
And Jesus took my sins away and he died on the cross before the foundation of the world.
Okay, he was slain from the foundation of the world, but he was manifest in these last times for you.
Yes.
But there was something that happened legally on the cross And what it was called justification. Justification. And what that means is that God now looks at Jesus Christ's blood that covers your sin because you're trusting in the shed blood and the merits of Jesus Christ. And now you've been given the imputed what?
Righteousness of Christ.
Right. God looks at Christ and says you are without sin because of Christ. The Bible says not of works of righteousness that we have done, but through His own mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, washing of the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you say, are you good enough? You know, is any man good enough?
No.
There's one man.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. There's one man that's good enough, and only one man that's good enough. The rich young ruler, what did he say when he came to Jesus Christ? And he said, good master. And what did Jesus say?
No one is good but God.
That's right. Why call ye me master? And can you think of any other aspects in the Bible where a person was trusting in his works?
Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas said, unless, what, I see your
nail prints.
Yeah. In other words, he was not operating out of faith. He was operating out of
works
doctrine. And so was Peter much of the time prior to the death of Christ.
And he denied Jesus Christ three times.
Yeah. Yes, and also we see in the Old Testament some people were relying on their works. You know, and God got upset with them. You know, David was told to do certain things and not to do certain things. And Samuel was told to do, Saul was told to do certain things and not do certain things. And he went ahead and did it. What is the bleating of the sheep I hear in my ears? Remember that one?
Yeah.
He was told to kill all of them. He kept some of them back. Any time that we rely upon our works, any part of our works, and thinking it's going to give us any merit to God, then we're deceived.
Yeah.
We're living in a time when people are relying upon their works, and they're relying upon a lot of things. Rick Warren is getting ready to do the invocation at the inauguration of Hussein Obama. And now it's been announced that a homosexual lady minister is also going to do the prayer along with Warren, and he thinks it's a great thing. It's blasphemy against God and against His Word. And Rick Warren will have to answer to God for this. It's very evident by his actions that he's unregenerate, or he would not be participating in this filth. And so when we go about and we realize that we have fallen into sin, one aspect of or proof that we are one of God's children is if we find ourselves in sorrow over our sin. Rick Warren is not showing any signs of being sorrowful for his flirting with the world and being involved in New Age concepts and bringing in the Roman Catholic Church into that place that he calls a church. What's the name of his church?
Saddleback Ministries.
You know. Now, no man is good enough. But there's a difference in being antinomian, being lawless. Paul warned about it. What did Paul say? Let us sin so that
grace may abound, God forbid.
Right. What did he mean by that?
Well, we sin willfully, we do it hopefully, and sin toward Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it says if we sin willfully, there remaineth
no
sacrifice for sin. Why? So, but it also says that if we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just, forgives for our sins, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Okay.
We say we have no sin, we make ourselves.
We say we have no sin, we make him a liar.
And his truth, his word is not in us.
Yes. Truth is not in us. So if somebody says to you, well, I've had a lot of people tell me, they say, well, I've lived a pretty good life. I'm just as moral as anybody else. I've got just as good a chance as anybody else making it to heaven. That person's in big trouble because they're trusting in their own goodness. They're trusting in their own... They're measuring themselves against whom? Against a perfect God, against a perfect, holy, righteous God who's paid the price for their sin. And they're saying, no, my worthiness, my morality, my goodness is better than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so no man is good enough. And, you know, it says, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And then we've got a song that says, Jesus paid it all. You know, because we owe him everything. We owe him our life. We owe him all. But, you know, by us recognizing that we owe him all doesn't merit us anything by giving him all. You know, there's a song that says, I surrender all to him I owe. But you know what? Our surrendering to God is merely a activity of the Holy Spirit's wooing us to be receptive to the grace of God. It's all a work of God. It's all a work of His grace. The Bible says that this is the work of God that you believe on Him. John 6:29, I believe that is. This is the work of God that you believe on Him. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and no man can what?
Pluck them out of my Father's hand.
I and my Father
are one.
So this discussion or this debate tonight, you know, if we were to take the other side, we could put forth a lot of scriptures to show that, and that's usually what Arminians do. What they do is they don't separate out good works from eternal salvation. They don't separate out and show that salvation, predestination, justification, glorification all comes before our good works. Romans 8 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did
predestinate.
And those whom he did predestinate, he also
called.
And those he called, he also
justified.
And those he justified, he also
glorified.
What shall we say to these things? If God
before us, who can be against us?
He delivered him up for us all. How will he not freely give us all things? It is God that justifieth. Who shall lay anything?
The charge of God's elect.
That's right. So, this whole thing about justification, election, our redemption, our adoption, our glorification, our being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, has absolutely zilch to do with our works. The reason it can't have anything to do with our works is the fact that we were dead what?
Christ. Dead in sin.
Dead in our trespasses and sin. And if you're lying in a coffin, there's not a thing you can do. Lazarus was dead in the tomb. But Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, because Jesus imparted life into Lazarus. Lazarus had already been laying there for 3 days. He already stunk. He already stunk. And we stunk with the bitter gall of our sin. Not only our original sin in Adam, but our actual sin that we had committed. That is why Christ came. No man's good enough. No man can wash away his own sin. That's the whole problem with the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ said on the cross, what?
It is finished.
It is finished. He entered once into the holy place. And the Catholic Church meets, well, we just was up in Cameron, Missouri tonight by the Catholic Church, and there was all kind of cars out there going in there to confess their sins to someone other than Jesus Christ. So, none of those people are good enough. All their works is not going to save them. Eating the wafer is not going to save them. Doing the beads is not going to save them. Praying to Mary is not going to save them. Going on crusades to the Holy Land's not going to save them. You know, praying to dead saints, patron saints, is not going to save them. You know, it's all a futility. It's no different than worshiping Buddha or Muhammad or Allah or any of the other false gods. Okay, do you have anything else to say about this not being good enough?
No, sir.
Well, there's just not a whole lot more to say. You know, we are to love our neighbor. We're to pray for those against us. We are also to try to be salt and light in the world. But there's no better message for the sinner than to tell them that the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to what?
Save sinners.
Yeah. And Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I mean, here's a guy that was really into works before he was converted. He came up under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was strict in his religious works. But he called it dung. He said, it's all dung. And that's what he told them about circumcision, too. He said to the Galatians, how quickly you have parted from the truth of the true gospel. And you've gone back in the old law service. And there's a lot of people that have gone back into the old law service. And we're going to see Barack Obama, Hussein Obama, try to concoct his own theological doctrine. And we see, just like the Pope is trying to now concoct some new stuff and bring all religions under one umbrella, under one ecumenical global religion. Jesus Christ has already done all the work for his people. It's already done. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one of these days, he's going to come back to this wicked world as a ruling, conquering king. Father, we thank you for this debate regarding the question, are you good enough? And we know that none of us are good enough. and that's why you came, to die, to shed your precious blood, and to take our sins upon yourself, and to be slain on a cross, and that you have rose from the dead, and you've ascended back to heaven, and you're coming back one day to take your elect to the New Jerusalem to be with you forever. Help us to have a stronger and stronger belief in your completed work and your imputed righteousness. We ask in your name for your glory. Amen.